If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making a better Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So you with me on that? Like, when I looked, I saw nothing, and then you had them all, and I couldn't see anything. So I'm like, did they drop, or what happened? And it's because this crappy thing puttered out on me. All right, I'm going to stop looking at that thing because I got a lot of problems in my life. I don't need more. Thank you. I just wanted to clear that up. Anyway, just so fans know what I'm talking about, we have a machine in here that doesn't work, and it drives me nuts. And I'm going to crush it with my foot and stomp on it. Mavi, how many people do I want to stomp in the head these days? You know my hit list.
About 37, but the list keeps growing by the minute.
Thank you. Did you have fun yesterday driving 20 hours?
So much fun. Thank goodness I had the NFL games to listen to.
Oh, so that's what you did? You listened to the games?
On the way back, yeah. The whole way back from Montreal, I was just listening to the games.
So did you get to listen to two of them?
Yeah. All of the first one and most of the second. I got back around 7 o'clock last night, so I was listening to most of the second.
When you got home, did you watch the end of it?
Yeah, I watched the end of it, but at that point it was pretty much decided anyway. It was late in that game. I mean, once went down in that second game, like, all right, well, this one's over. I'm just listening.
So what was it like listening to the games, the playoff games, on the radio in the car?
It was fine. It kept me involved, but, I can tell you, I was bouncing back and forth between the broadcast and that first one. Because even though I love our boy PA, both broadcasts were so homerized at times. I'm like, after like 20 minutes of it, I'd have to switch to the other one just to get the other side of it because it was so one way. Although your boy PA does at least like every big play calls it excited like you used to do with the Thrashers. It doesn't matter if it was for New Orleans or for the Vikings. Like, it was a big play. He called it big. But there was the analysis of the plays was just so one-sided for either broadcast.
Right. There you go. All right, Derek in Southern California, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, Scotty? Can I get a cold one?
Yeah, get him a freshie. This is unbelievable. The Forella Pub is flowing.
Hey, quick, what do you think about that line for the Chiefs Texans?
Well, I saw it. It's 9.5, right? So,
I think it's pretty accurate because, yeah, you know what? Texans came into Kansas City and beat them in week 6, but there was no Eric Fisher. There was no Chris Jones. Mahomes was hobbled. He had just rolled his ankle the week before, and then early in that game he rolled it again. And Tyreek was on like a 45% play count.
So it sounds to me like you think the Chiefs are going to blow out the Titans or the Texans.
I don't even think it's going to be close.
So blowout.
That's what I'm thinking. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't. I think the guy, I don't deny that the Chiefs quarterback is fantastic. There's no getting around that. And I think Tyreek Hill's incredible, and Kelsey's very good. And but I'm going to just pretty much leave it at that. I think the rest of them are, I think the Texans can compete with them. I think that Deshaun Watson is very exciting, and so is Hopkins. I've seen the Chiefs shut down Edelman, so I know they're capable. If they can shut down Hopkins, the Texans are in big trouble. But in the second half of that game with the Bills, Hopkins went off, right? He had like 4 or 5 big catches. And so if that guy has a – because the first time they played him in Arrowhead, he had a huge game. And if that guy has a good game I think they'll be in it. I'm not giving you this blowout. I don't actually think, frankly, I'm not feeling a blowout in any of the games. And that's just me. James in New Orleans.
Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you something you already know.
Hey.
I hope you don't get mad at me.
All right.
You got a great show. You're very entertaining and very informative, and I like the way you talk to the two guys you got there.
My man.
The way you interact.
Thanks, James.
You're welcome, my brother. Look, I do have a question later on whenever you get a chance about the LSU Clemson game.
Before right, go
we get into that.
All
go
right.
ahead, my brother.
No, go ahead.
Okay, the Saints. I just want to say why I think they lost.
All right.
Sean Payton knows more about football than I ever will. There's no doubt about that. But look, he gets too cute at times, and he doesn't stick with the running game. They, of course, they need a wide receiver as well. Some owners get too strong influence with their teams. It's the opposite with Sean Payton. He has his way with everybody over here. Well, you know, he's a great coach, but no one can check his hand. And that's the problem, I think.
Yeah, let me say this. Don't give up yet. You said you wanted to ask me a question about LSU Clemson. What is that?
You're right. Yeah. What do you think's going to happen, my brother?
All right. James, good hearing from you. First of all, as far as the Saints go, I don't agree with you that they need another receiver. I think they got him already. And I think Taysom Hill does a great job for them making plays. And I think Thomas is incredible. And I think their other guys make plays, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Saints. I think people are, you know, probably overreacting a little bit that there's some big problem with the Saints. The problem is they keep getting burned in playoff games and having these horrible crash landings. That's the problem. They've had three walk-offs in a row, right? So they got bad luck. If there's anyone that has that, it's them. As far as LSU Clemson, it's just going to be fantastic. But the fact that we have to wait like a month and a half for the game has ruined it for me. I just don't even care anymore that they're playing a week from today. It's another week. So kiss my ass. I don't care at all about that game right now. One lick. Maybe next Monday when I'm, you know, walking in here off of, you know, divisional round games on Saturday and Sunday, I guarantee you that the talk's going to be about those games. And then we're going to be talking about that game as it happens. But do I anticipate a huge buildup for that game on, what, Thursday or Friday of this week? No, because I'll tell you why. Last Friday we did a show, right? And the wild cards were going on. And no one gave a rat's ass about the wild cards. Carver, I admit it. We didn't have any kind of passion on Friday on the show. It sucked. The show sucked. You people suck. That's the bottom line.
Zero.
Who doesn't get fired up for playoff football games in the NFL? And I have never... Did I not drive home with you on Friday and say that was the worst show we've ever done with fans?
Yeah, you did say that.
It was pathetic. You people are pathetic. Because honestly, like, I have... My passion runs just like blood. I'm nuts. Like, Carver High's doing a show on... Saturday at Bobby McCann's, I was thinking, man, I'll bet that guy's so rowdy right now drinking Bud Lights. Someone asked me, he's probably devastated. I said, he's pounding Bud Lights watching the Bills. You know, I was screaming and yelling at the TV watching the game. I was rooting for his team, but I was rooting for my bet. At the same time, I was cussing at myself. And then I watched the game Sunday. I cussed all day. I go nuts. And then you people don't even get fired up for the games? Screw you. Okay, so don't tell me about next Monday's national championship game that takes a month and a half to play. That's a joke. The fact that I turned on the TV tonight and there was some Louisiana-Miami of Ohio game, I wanted to barf. That there's some crappy college bowl game tonight that no one cares about. I mean, it's embarrassing, the schedule that they set up for college football. It's embarrassing. Flat out. I don't care what anybody says. There is no reason, rhyme or reason. What is this, the Super Bowl? That's what they're treating it like. Right? The two-week wait for the Super Bowl, that's the now the two-week wait for the national championship game. It's terrible. Forget about 2 weeks either, because it was the 28th they played. That's longer than 2 weeks.
It is. It was Saturday. Now it's going to be – we already had one more Saturday. Then it's going to be another Saturday, and then you get it 3 days after that.
It's the longest wait for a game in the history of the world. No one even cares anymore. I'll care the night I walk in here and it's on. That's it. I'm not going to – do you think I'm going to sit around on Sunday and go, man – I can't wait for tomorrow. There's a national championship game. I don't even care now that they're playing. I won't deny that it's a really good game. LSU and Clemson is a really good game. But it's lost its flavor with the wait. I mean, it's already been, what? They played on the 28th. It wasn't even New Year's Eve.
That's what they get for playing on the 28th. That's all because of this schedule that they've concocted because they refuse to play the games on New Year's
Day.
They're
all a bunch of idiot nimrods and asshats. There you go.
Hey, your boy James is off because the only time they had success in that game offensively was when Peyton got creative or, you know, too cute, as he said, with Taysom Hill running and throwing and catching. Like, that's when they had success. When it was Breeze back there just doing his thing, they were terrible, and it's because they couldn't block. because Minnesota took their defensive ends and said, you know, these are our best players. You suck in the middle. We're bringing them inside. And Griffin and Hunter were in the backfield every snap. Breece had no time. The second the ball was in his hands, one of those guys was in his face.
Do you know the guy that runs back the punts for New Orleans? That guy's incredible. Kicks and punts. Why don't they use him as a receiver more? That guy's got absolute lightning bolt speed. Speed kills. Thomas has got great hands. I'd use that other guy with speed. And then the kid Hill just makes plays. He's become a rock star. Do you remember when the Jets used to use that and Bills and everybody used Brad Smith that way?
Right.
This guy's better than him.
He is way better. Yeah. He's bigger. Like, you know, Brad Smith was good at running and throwing, but he was a smaller guy. That's why they moved him. Like, Taysom Hill's like a tight end and could do it all.
He's unbelievable. He's got a bright future if he stays healthy. He kind of reminds me, I got to tell you, of Christian McCaffrey, who just makes a lot of plays. Yeah. And they use him as a flex and everything else and as a running back. And that guy could do anything. He could be a receiver, quarterback. I think he could do anything. I think Hill can do all that stuff, too.
That's why it kind of stinks when they came out of the All-Pro team. Like, they had that flex position.
Right. Mafia, are you all right? You're choking in there like I was earlier. We got a situation here, Carver High.
And McCaffrey's so good, so they had him in the flex position. But, I mean, I think Hill was more of – maybe he doesn't get the biggest stats that McCaffrey got. I think he was more deserving of that because the guy – they said it. Like, he played –
they should have given him the flex
30
position.
Snaps at, like, five different positions this year.
But they gave it to McCaffrey.
They gave it to McCaffrey.
Because everyone loves McCaffrey. Mark in Baltimore, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, man.
Look, my picks for the Super Bowl, I'm going to tell you, I'm a Baltimore fan, diehard, but I've got Kansas City, Minnesota in the Super Bowl. You know, as far as Baltimore, Tennessee goes, I got Baltimore winning by at least 14. You know, Henry's a monster. I'm not taking anything away from him. He runs old school straight at you, through you. There's not a whole lot of tricks up that sleeve. However, it's got to equate to touchdowns. Baltimore's going to put up their 24. Can Tennessee match it? I just don't know. As far as the Kansas City game, I got Baltimore, Kansas City. I think it's going to be a nail biter. It's going to come down to, who has the ball last. It's going to be great. But as far as Tennessee goes, I don't even have this game being that close.
I think that Mahomes can actually do it. I think he can beat Lamar Jackson. I think that Lamar's incredible. He's been phenomenal. He's been amazing. He's been fun to watch. And I actually think he could be beat. And I think a really good day by a quarterback could beat him. I mean, he's a running guy, I think. I understand he passes it, too. I get that. But he runs it like no one else, right? And Allen's the other guy that runs it well, the Bills quarterback. But this guy, Jackson, runs it at a whole different level than him even. But I just think Mahomes, for me, is a better quarterback. And I don't know, a lot of people that are going to argue, you could argue all day, but a lot of people are going to say Mahomes is a better quarterback. So if anyone can beat him, it's Mahomes. So I don't have a problem with your theories. But he has Kansas City, Minnesota in the Super Bowl. And, yeah, I think that's possible. I think, look, there's eight teams left. Anyone can do it, I guess. I think they've already written off Tennessee. People are giving them no chance. That's insanity. They just beat the Patriots, for Christ's sakes. Honestly. Like, how do you not give them any respect at all? They just beat Tom Brady and the Patriots at Foxborough. People act like that's some kind of piece of cheese. You know what I mean? What they did to the Patriots is unbelievable, that they actually went up there and beat them. Do you know they've won 20 of their last 23 playoff games there? They never lose. And they beat them. They kicked their ass. If they would have played another quarter, they would have put another two touchdowns on him. I really believe that. This guy was wearing them down like no one's business. He was running through them like they were toilet paper. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4CBS is the number to get on the bench. Brandon in Oregon, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what up, y'all? How's it going?
Hey, dude.
Hey, I was just calling. I was wondering, Pharrell, if there's any underdogs you're going to be taking on the money line for NFL this weekend. I got to make some money back. And also, my last question was, me and one of my buddies were having a debate today on who is the best DB of all time, Mel Blount or Deion Sanders. And I just wanted to hear your opinion on that. You know, I know you're a Steelers fan, so maybe a little biased, but
yeah, I just wanted to hear your opinion on
that. Well, I don't think Mel Blanc gets nearly enough respect for his amazing career and accomplishments. And he was certainly, you know, a more violent player than Deion Sanders ever was. I think that, you know, Mel Blanc meant business. He hit like, you know, George Atkinson hit. And, you know, frankly, he was feared. So when you went out to catch a pass and you were playing against them, you knew there were guys that heard footsteps. And there were guys that were literally scared that they were going to get lit up by Mel Blanc. And that's just all there is to it. I don't actually believe that anyone feared Deion Sanders physically. But I think that he, in my opinion, as I've had this argument with several people over the years, I think he's, you know, the best corner I ever saw. But, I mean, from, you know, picking off passes and being, for quarterbacks to be in fear of throwing to that side, I thought he revolutionized the position. Where, you know, you get guys like now, like remember when Sherman had that respect and Revis Island had that respect. And now your guy, what's his name, White for the Bills has got that respect. And Gilmore pretty much has that respect. But I don't think White or Gilmore have anywhere near the respect that Deion Sanders had. Yet, you know what I mean? Like, I think that White guy's phenomenal, but he's only done it really for me this year, that where he just really stood out like this guy's a dangerous corner, right? But, excuse me, I really think all around what Deion did, running, you know, kicks back and playing corner and picking off passes and scoring touchdowns, and, you know, what he did, frankly, in college at Florida State and what he did in Major League Baseball, where he played for the Braves and played in the NFL for the Falcons and all that. I just thought he was the most exciting player that I ever saw. And the fact that he's in the top 100 players is of no surprise to me. Someone asked me once who I thought one of the most competitive people was I ever saw, and I said Deion Sanders was one of them. And I was not a primetime fan. I'm a Canes fan. I hate Florida State, but I respected him. And we've had this conversation on the show many times where I tell you over and over emphatically that I respect great players. I don't care what team they play for. If they play for the worst team that I hate on the face of the earth, I still respect great players. If you're a great player, I recognize that. And I'm like, this is a problem. We got to deal with this guy tonight. I think that's the essence of sports, that you have to compete against another team, right? And you have to stop their best players, right? In every sport. It does not matter what sport you name. It's the same story in all of them. You have to deal with their best player. If you're playing hockey, if you're playing soccer, if you're playing baseball, if you're playing football, you know, or basketball, you have to stop the other team's best players, right? So I think Deion was one of those kind of players. But as far as the position goes and being, you know, a true corner that hits, and because people said Deion never tackled anybody, right? He just scored touchdowns. So I think Mel Blanc was overall a better corner and a better hitter and more feared. And I think Deion Sanders was the flashiest star player, at least one of them that I've ever seen. So I think Deion Sanders is, you know, the most exciting guy I probably ever saw play the position. But I think that, you know, overall, if I had to say who was a better corner doing the job that a corner has to do on both stopping passes and hitting people, Mel Blanc was a better corner. Fair enough? I think that's a fair enough assessment of it. So I hope that you won that argument, and that if not, you should punch your friend in the face. Jason in New Orleans.
Hey, hi there.
Hey.
Okay, I'd like to ask you, just like, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, being different or changing the way
right
they were, let's say,
right,
a decade or two ago.
Right.
You know, the Steve Young and all those guys used to play and so forth. I'd just like to ask you, now, with the head coaches, what do you think as far as the difference? Are they changing
It's without a doubt, without even a question, it's not even worth thinking about that it's changing. It's changing before your very eyes. Now, there are still pocket passers that drop back and throw the ball, like what, this Goff guy? Isn't he just a pure pocket passer? He drops back and throws it. Like, you know, almost like Tom Brady. Tom Brady just drops back and gets rid of the ball as quick as possible. Really, when you think about it, Joe Montana was that way too. Joe Montana ran the ball a little bit here and there, mostly in college at Notre Dame, right? He would do it. But in the pros, he was more, in my opinion, a pocket passer. Steve Young kind of revolutionized the position and being a running quarterback and throwing, right? He would fake you out and run it, or he'd fake the run and then at the last second throw it. But nowadays, Carver, Randall Cunningham, there's a lot of quarterbacks now, a lot of them that do everything. They're very mobile and they're very quick and they do everything, run the ball, throw the ball, run around the pocket, break tackles, like, you know, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen runs the ball. He can throw the ball. We know what Mahomes can do. We know what Lamar Jackson can do. And then there's guys like Mitchell Trubisky who just drop back and get sacked and do nothing. You know, they're just pocket passers. I mean, there's a lot of those guys. But and then there's guys like, really, famous Jameis is basically a pocket passer. He drops back and he gets rid of the ball and he throws 30 touchdowns and he throws 30 picks. So I think the game's changing. I think that there are younger, more athletic, mobile quarterbacks doing a lot more, in my view, nowadays than the stationary pocket passers. And that's all there is to it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So, Mafia, I know you saw PharrellOnTheBench.com come through in the clutch in the wild card weekend for all the fans. Now we got the divisional round. Two games Saturday, two more on Sunday. PharrellOnTheBench.com will be ready. You can bet on it. PharrellOnTheBench.com is all over everything. Every day you get pro and college rack, hockey, boxing, MMA, everything. Amazing price, killer results, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. So, Mafia, your boy Conor McGregor, touchdown in Vegas for the fight on the 18th. So that's in 2 weeks. So now he's in Vegas. And he's looking lean, running in the streets of Las Vegas, getting ready for the fight. He's out training, and he said he was 2 weeks from fight night. Great to be back on U.S. soil as he gets ready to take on Cowboy Cerrone. Do you think he'll be able to not get in trouble in the next 2 weeks in Las Vegas and get arrested or anything else? Because every time he's in America, he does something, whether it's at the Barclays, whether it's in Miami, crushing a guy's cell phone. He got those charges were dropped. The Barclays was a disaster for him with throwing the gurney at the bus, and then he attacked a guy in a pub in Ireland, in Dublin. It seems like whenever this guy just goes out as a normal individual, everyday life, he can't seem to maintain his composure. There's no denying he's a great fighter, but he seems like he's an idiot in everyday life.
Yeah, although a lot of those were, you know, when he's off, not in fight camp, not getting ready for a big event. I mean, those were ones where he was just living his life, doing his thing. I mean, the Brooklyn thing was for his teammate, when his teammates fight, he wasn't on that card. So, I mean, it's mostly on the East Coast and overseas. He did have the incident, of course, at the press conference with Diaz's, where he threw the water bottle years ago in Vegas. So it's not like he has a clean, squeaky clean record there. But I think when it's, fight week and fight camps, I think for the most part he's focused. I think he's going to be locked in. I think, you know, he knows right now, or at least hopefully someone's gotten his ear and told him that you need this win. You need to focus because this fight, A, can be dangerous if you take the guy lightly because he can knock you out. Yes, he's got, you know, more of a glass chin at this point in his career, but if he catches you, it's going to be dangerous. But B, if you need this win because if you don't, you're going to lose all your luster. People are going to forget about you. People aren't going to care anymore. So he needs to be locked in for this one. Hopefully he is doing that and staying out of the Vegas nightlife.
You think he's going to win that fight, though, don't you? He's not losing to this guy.
He should. They're setting it up for him to win. I mean, if it was his Cowboy Cerrone 3 or 4 years ago, I think it's more dangerous. I think he's taken so much abuse and fought so often that right now he's a lot easier to put on the mat. So I think that's what they're hoping for, that Conor's able to catch him, knock him down, finish him off, and look like the old Conor.
All right. 855-212-4CBS. Dave in Alabama, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Pharrell?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, bro. Well, I'm talking to you. What's the problem?
Check this out. A Harlem Nail, all that is. Can you crack one open and pour in a frosty glass?
Get him a fresh beverage, for Christ's sake. The guy's thirsty. My God.
Hey, check this out. I was watching the Eagles-Seahawks game over the weekend.
Right.
And they got to get Nick Foles back or get Teddy Bridgewater as a backup for Carson Wentz.
Well, I don't think they're getting Nick Foles back. That's a done deal. He's gone. So they had their chance with him, and they won a Super Bowl with him, and then he left. So it is what it is. Bridgewater, I guess, you know, that's doable. At the end of the day, they could probably make that happen if they really wanted to. They're going to have to do something because McCown's done, and, beyond that, it's not good. What were they were talking about? What, this guy Ward was going to play?
Yeah, because I think Sudfeld was inactive.
Right.
He was the original backup before he got hurt this year.
So they have to do something. They're going to have to fix that position. I think there's, they have a lot of faith, tremendous faith in Wentz. They like Wentz. They feel like they can win a Super Bowl with Wentz. I'm certain of that. The problem is that Wentz keeps getting hurt when it matters most. I don't care what anybody says. The guy gets hurt when it matters most, and he doesn't play. So that's all there is to it. Like, what, next year I'm just going to, I guess I'm going to just plan on him getting hurt right before the playoffs or in the final month or maybe the day of the playoff game or maybe in the divisional round or maybe in the Super Bowl, but it'll be something always because it seems like it always is. I mean, that's strike two right there, right? I mean, that was the first one was the Super Bowl. Now this one in the wild card round. I won't deny the guy's got talent, and I thought he carried the Eagles the last month. Fair enough. He won the division because of his play, nothing else, no other reason. They got there because of him. So I won't deny he's good, but he keeps getting hurt. So they got to have another plan because it's always something with that guy. Any way you slice it, there's just no getting around it. That's just all there was to it. People can say whatever they want. The reality is he didn't play. So that's that. And then, of course, today they're talking about how he's fine and he's getting his locker cleared out and he looked good and everything. Well, who cares today how he's doing? I'm sure they do, but nobody else does when the season ended and you got the glad bags out, right? It sucks. It is what it is. But today he's fine. He wasn't fine yesterday. I won't deny the guy got his bell rung from behind, got his face smashed into the ground. That was not pretty, right? It is what it is, but it happened, and you can't ignore it. The guy keeps getting injured. So, it's like they were talking today about this Tua Tagovailoa guy, right? I heard them all say, all these geniuses and draft experts and pundits who said, as long as the guy stays healthy, he's going to have a bright future. Well, famous last words as he broke his hip at the end of the season and he's finished. Right now he's going to start training in 3 months, right? Right now he's sitting down in his house, throwing across the room the Nerf ball to his girlfriend. I don't know what he's doing. But in 3 months he'll start training, right? But he'll get drafted in the first round, make a fortune. And at what point do you think... is there anyone in here that buys that he's a little dude and he could get rung up in the NFL as fast as he did in college? He's a great player, but here's another guy. He got injured. Now he's playing on a broken hip. What's next? Like, I don't trust Wentz. I don't trust Tagovailoa. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I think that you have to. You're taking a risk if you take him early in that draft.
He's a little dude.
No actual game action since the hip
injury.
But
Murray's little too, and he made it. He had a good season.
Yeah, but he's not coming off a broken hip.
Right, fair enough. But I think that he was at times good and at times really bad for Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, most guys who are playing in their first season should struggle a little bit.
Fair enough.
Not everybody. I know I keep going back to this.
Immediacy, you're right.
Not everybody is going to be Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
It just doesn't happen like that.
He's the only one.
I mean, Lamar Jackson this year, too. I mean, you know, he played the second half of last year, and this year he hasn't had too many bumps in the road yet. Not everybody is going to win the MVP in their first season. Young quarterbacks take time to develop. Some take a year. Some might take 3 or 4. Nobody gets that kind of time in today's NFL, but that's just the way that it goes so far.
Look at
Tannehill. He sucked in Miami for years and years. Goes to Tennessee this year, and he plays great. Yeah. Sometimes it takes time.
Do you think Murray's going to be a good quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's going to be good.
Mafia, do you think Murray's going to be good?
I got to wait and see. I think he could be good, or he could be Jameis Winston. You know, we got to see how it goes, how he progresses, and how that system develops, too, because let's not forget, he's not in this NFL system that's been, you know, established from coach that's been winning. He's in a system with a guy who was a college coach that just ran his first year, right, and he'd get better with him.
Right. John in Pittsburgh on the Fan, you're on the Bench.
Oh, yeah. Hi. I know you guys are all Ravens fans, but, you know.
What are you talking about? We're all Ravens fans. What?
Yeah, the Ravens defense, it just sucks, man. Like, come on.
All right, thanks. You're just painful. Okay, you're painful. All right, so how's that sound? First of all, don't call up here putting words in everyone's mouth that we're all Ravens fans, and then the Ravens suck? Was that what he just said? You know what, dude? I get it. You're from Pittsburgh, and you're a Steeler fan, and you're a tool. Okay? I'm a Steeler fan, too, but I don't call up radio shows and act like a tool and say all the teams that are still playing in the playoffs suck, especially the team that won the division and kicked your ass twice. Okay? Shut your mouth. Go to bed. Wake up. Don't tell anyone you called and embarrassed yourself on my show tonight. Don't tell anyone. Because you're going to, if they hear it, they're going to make fun of you. Someone's going to hit you in the head. Jay in Alaska.
What's up, Pharrell? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I got three things for you, and since it's your Pharrell and Joe, you tell me how you want to roll with it.
All right.
The first one is on Anthony Davis. I'm telling you, bro, I haven't seen a better center in Lakerland since Shaquille O'Neal, and he's better than Shaquille O'Neal, and I hate to say that because I love Shaq, but, man, that guy can hit outside shots. He can play inside. He's got mid-range. He can play defense. I mean, he is amazing. Even more than LeBron, I find myself watching Anthony Davis.
Right. I'm fair with that. I think that Shaq was way more dominant inside, but no one's ever been that big. So he controlled the paint and the rim. But I think that Davis is a much better basketball player because he can take his game outside and he can do a lot inside as well. So he's a better all-around player.
And then my number two thing is this Browns situation with their coaching. I mean, they screwed themselves by not getting McCarthy. What they needed was an adult in the room. I hear all this stuff about Josh McDaniels, Urban Meyer. These guys are the most loosey-goosey, non-disciplined coaches I've ever heard or seen. I'm a football coach. I've been a coach for 10 years. I run a very tight program, and I would never want some guys that are just let guys do whatever the crap they want on the team, coach my team, especially with all that talent. And with a guy like Baker Mayfield, man, you need somebody to rein that kid in and point him down the right path because I think he's talented. He's accurate. He's a good quarterback.
All right, let me just say, I think that I don't dispute that he needs better coaching at this level. I would agree with that. I also I don't necessarily agree that Josh McDaniels isn't, you know, in my view, he's going to, I believe, rub off a lot of the Belichick stuff in his style. I think that the first time around, he was with a crappy team in Denver, and he didn't have a quarterback at all. And I think he got blamed for everything. Like, that naturally happens in the NFL. When coaches take crappy jobs, they lose, and then they get blamed, and then they get fired. I think the second time around for him will be different, and I think he'll be more like Belichick than he ever has been before. I think he's been up there so long, you can't tell me that it's not going to rub off on him. So I think he would do a much better job in Cleveland at this point than all these other people that they're interviewing, to be honest with you. And then as far as Baker Mayfield goes, in terms of he needs better coaching, I also don't agree with you that he's this accurate passer. I think he's been anything but accurate. I think he's been all over the place. I think he's been wildly unsuccessful so far. And I think it's embarrassing that he does 75 million commercials and he's like the face of the NFL and he's a loser. So he was a winner in college. I won't deny it. But he also was in a winning program. So, you know, everyone that goes there, Jalen Hurts went there and won. And he went there and won. And prior to him going there, what was he doing? Nothing. Now he looks more like that quarterback, the quarterback that did nothing, than the guy that played on a team stacked with NFL players at Oklahoma. What's your other thing?
Okay, so my last thing, and this is just me personally, and I'm going to get your take on this, because I'm a diehard Oakland Raider fan, and I heard some idiots on the radio, and I want you to call them idiots, saying that Tom Brady's coming to Vegas to coach, to play for Gruden. I mean, I want to say, shut your Pharrellian mouth.
Yeah, I don't believe he's leaving New England. I'll believe it when I see it. I think that he and Bob Kraft are still tied at the hip. And I think that I think Kraft is going to have to convince Belichick to give it one more season. And in that year and a half now, plan on who's going to be the new quarterback after next year.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.